Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Cosentino here. We're doing Democratic Perspective this morning without Steve Williamson. He's off doing something. I know what he's doing this time. I always make fun of him when he goes away. But he's taken a barge to Luxembourg, which I thought would be a great title for a Charles Bukowski poem. And of course, well, good for laughing, guys. But because most people don't know who Charles Bukowski is, but. We have a real kind of interesting show, a little bit different. Certainly fits in the Democratic Perspective category. It's what we try to do here, is kind of look at things, step back a little bit, look at things a little more clearly, and clear things up. But we have Jay Ruby, a fine campaign guy. This is the, when you go to Wikipedia and you look up a campaign organizer, Jay Ruby's picture is in there. It's obviously easy to mush his name together, but it's Jay Ruby. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Mike. That was quite an introduction. I'm not sure how voracious it is.
Yes, exactly. Well, we try not to mislead. So if I say it, it must be true. That's the standard we have around here. Anyway. You brought a friend with you that's going to give us some really interesting information. We got a fascinating event in Prescott. Rosemary Dixon, good morning.
Good morning.
And so we're going to talk about kind of hopeful things, at least that I find them hopeful. One of the things that certainly we find on Democratic Perspective is that reason has a liberal bias. And so the kind of...
compassion as well.
Exactly. We're going to talk about those things.
Truth as well.
There you go. Well, that's it. You guys have done the show, so it's in our mission statement if we have one. But yeah, tell us what's going on, Jay.
I would actually say there's a whole political convergence happening in Prescott, Arizona, the third weekend of September, the 20th, the 21st, and 22nd, and there's a variety of events that weekend that will be gathering. A number of people from around the state and around the country. And it's one event that Rosemary is focused on is the Neighborhood Summit for Equity, which is being hosted by Prescott Indivisible. Sandwiched in the middle of their events on Friday and Saturday is the state meeting from the Democratic Party.
All right.
Which also includes the Truman Clinton Dinner.
Right.
A fundraiser with Mark Kelly.
Right.
Which is awesome. I heard him speak the other day. Really wonderful guy. And that laced through all of that, there's also the Prescott powwow. And there's
a Native American thing.
Yeah, it's at Watson Lake.
Okay. It's an intertribal event.
Thank you.
Yeah, open to the general public. So there's a large amount of activity that. Personally, I think is interesting in that it interweaves very well. There'll be a few different actions at the square. There's going to be workshops. We're going to get into all those details.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to try to take these down one at a time. I like your summary, though. Political conversion in Prescott, Arizona.
Convergence.
Convergence.
You had the harmonic convergence in Sedona. We're going to do the political convergence in Prescott.
All right, yes. The Bell Rock isn't going to open up, or in your case, Thumb Butte isn't going to open up, and the mothership fly out. At least as far as we know, it could happen, I guess. But tell us the name of the event.
The Neighborhood Summit for Equity.
The Neighborhood Summit for Equity.
Yes.
One of the things I've certainly been telling my friends about before I came to the show was that I was going to give the guest a hard time, which is never a good idea, about why, and I'm going to blame Democrats, but sir, why liberals come up with such complicated names for, and you're going to say, it's not complicated, and you're hurting my feelings, and just stop. But what does Neighborhood Summit for Equity mean?
You're not hurting my feelings.
Okay.
It's okay. It's okay. I think people misunderstand the difference between equality and equity.
Ah, good.
And equity means things are fair and square. You can imagine three people trying to look over a fence at a baseball game. One of those people is really, really short. One of those people is really, really tall. One person's in the middle. So an equality would mean they all get a box of the same height so they can see over the fence. Equity would mean the little person gets a taller box because otherwise they can't see over the fence. So equity is the even distribution of resources, fairness for everyone, not necessarily sameness, though, that equality would mean.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be talking about this in Prescott. And who's going to be doing the talking and how what do I do? I listened to your explanation. Sounds wonderfully reasonable, wonderfully enlightened, actually, in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to do?
You are going to come to our Friday night event.
Okay.
Our main speaker will be Ezra Levin. He's coming from, he started in the Indivisible Project. He and his wife Leah Greenberg, actually, after the 2016 election, they just wrote a Google Doc trying to figure out how to deal with these election results. They had both been congressional aides, and they sent this Google Doc out to friends, and it has turned into 6,000 chapters of Indivisible across the country, more than a million members.
Of Indivisible.
Yes, there are a good 25 chapters in Arizona.
I'll be darned.
And the point of it is equity and fairness and making sure that legislation reflects our values.
So let me So there's these organizations called Indivisible Cottonwood, Indivisible Sedona.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
And they were organized right after the election because a couple of people could see that things weren't going to go well for human rights.
That's
especially.
Right.
And these guys are going to be in Prescott.
These guys are going to be in Prescott. Actually, Ezra and his wife were just named in Time's Top 100 Influential People of the Year because they are just gathering resources like crazy. There are so many of us. We are very powerful, and our values need to be recognized and represented. And this administration is not representing our values. So while Indivisible is nonpartisan, we support whoever represents our values. And at this point, it tends to be Democrats.
That's a good way to put it. I like that. I'd had, as I saw this develop, and certainly I know a lot of folks in various Indivisible organizations, and I sensed that they resisted being labeled as a Democratic organization.
That's right.
And now I know why.
Yeah.
I think it's because they were really looking at grassroots democracy and people meeting each other within their communities and organizing to advocate for particular legislative changes and for how the power structure was organized. That sometimes is antithetical to elements within the Democratic Party.
So
I think what Indivisible is doing is that they're kind of like regenerating a very type of vital connection to the living spirit of democracy, which again may not be in the interests of the established Democratic Party. So I think I commend them for being nonpartisan.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, and it's sad. I do a show called Democratic. We do a show called Democratic Perspective, and I like to feel that what you just described is who we are and what we aspire to. But absolutely, that we lose sight here in our little show in Sedona of how the actual party works. And then somebody said, well, didn't you watch the 2016 primary and see the some certainly my millennial friends consider atrocity in the primary process? Well, yeah, but, kind of thing. Yeah, and the other thing I want to say as host here, that the Indivisible, and it's so wonderful to hear you express it so clearly. You want to hit the replay button here, folks. I got this sense of mission from these Indivisible people, and what I see are people not political players. Oh, you know, I'm a political guy. I'm on the state committee, one of those meetings that are going to happen. And these are the, is like where the sausage is made, ladies and gentlemen. This is the state committee of the Arizona Democratic
Party.
Where do the policies come from? How do the leaders get picked? And all of these kinds of things happen at the state. When you really, and I say this when I asked to speak at meetings and things, that when you really want to get into Democratic politics, we have a lot of people that are wanting to get involved, and the state committee meeting, you know, to get that, to be on the state committee and to look at policy, to look at who's going to be lead the party in places like Arizona, and the caucuses. One of the, you know, I give religious speeches from time to time. In this case, the religious speech is the Democratic Party has all of these caucuses because it has a clear and working Veterans Caucus.
Yes.
It didn't always have one. It has a clear and working LGBT caucus. It didn't always have one. They have, of course, the Women's Caucus and the Progressive Caucus. So within the party, you have a voice. And so that's just if you're listening and you say I want to get politically involved, we're going to give you lots of opportunities this morning because we have this convergence so close. But let's talk more. We want to zero in on the equity summit.
Okay.
Tell us I show up and I'm interested. You got me in with the name because I don't understand it because I'm just. Guy, and you did explain the difference between equity and equality, and I like that. So how am I going to get there? How am I going to get to that equity?
It is complicated.
Okay.
It is definitely
complicated. We got time.
But what we hope that this event will start is a lot of dialogue, a lot of conversations around our community, around equity. I'll tell you one way this started was there were some white supremacist graffiti happening around our neighborhood, around our town.
I could see that.
Yes. Yeah. And it's very unfortunate. It's not okay. It was happening at some of the schools. Not acceptable.
Gas station bathrooms.
We went three of us, two from our Jewish congregation and myself, went and spoke to Mayor Mengarelli about it. And we asked him to write an op-ed because we can't do that. We can't have that. And he didn't write the op-ed.
Wow.
That was part of a catalyst to let's face this head on. And he doesn't have to write the op-ed if he doesn't want to.
Say the name clearly, please.
Mayor Mengarelli, Greg Mengarelli is his name. He's the mayor of Prescott. He's a very good guy. He invited us to a little dialogue on race in April, I think it was, happening at a local church, and it was okay. But there's structural elements to racism and inequity.
I understand you don't want to beat him up, but I do want to mention, so he refused to write an op-ed on the graffiti that was happening around town.
Put it this way, he asked for help writing it. I gave him a document. I gave him a copy of Coral Evans from
Flagstaff.
Yes, she wrote a wonderful document on equity and inclusion in their town. So I shared that with him, too, and he hasn't written it yet. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, let's go with that.
But that was March, and this is September. So
I was just hoping it goes away.
He did have an election, and he was running unopposed, so he's been busy.
Very good. Yeah, so we don't want to beat him up, but we would like him to get around that at op-ed because the community can't stand for this kind of thing.
Absolutely not. Cannot stand for it. And
it's very important that civic leaders speak out against racist bigotry, against Nazism, against actions that are intentionally discriminatory.
Because the assumption that is if they don't come out against it, that they must be for it.
It becomes tacit.
Well, I'm afraid so.
Well, that's it. And
I don't think that's the case with Mayor Mengarelli.
Your eyes got wide and you drew your breath, as you should have, because it isn't necessarily a correct assumption, but it certainly seems that way, especially because we're getting it out of the White House. you know, we have Donald Trump refuses to speak out against some of these, and so they assume that, and don't seem to be wrong, that he supports the Nazism and the white supremacists and the other.
And we have to remember too that Jeff Sessions cut out research into white terror organizations.
That's right.
So
mm-hmm.
there was actually like, we're not actually going to investigate that.
So there was overt actions. Yeah. And so, yes, this can be interpreted. So right here in northern Arizona, it could be interpreted as an overt action to support white supremacy. So the Neighborhood Summit on Equity is about racism?
It is about connection in our community and dialogue around racism. Because our community is separated. I mean, our community is there's white people and they're African Americans and they're Native Americans and Latinos, and never shall they meet.
Yeah.
And that is not acceptable for neighbors.
Go ahead.
The Neighborhood Summit for Equity intends to catalyze change by increasing awareness of racial and cultural inequities. Our mission is to provide engagement opportunities where we can bring out the best in one another as neighbors caring for each other. We are at our best when we are curious and respectful about our differences. So the intention of the summit is to open up dialogue to remove fear.
Wonderful. Have you gotten any buy-in from Prescott groups, from those groups you just mentioned? I mean,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, we started with an advisory team of mostly people of color.
Beautiful.
And an action team of worker bees. That's us.
All right.
And so, yeah, the whole program has been designed by various people from various communities in the city of Prescott.
Prescott is much more diverse than one would imagine.
Yes, I know that.
That's
a lot
right.
of people don't.
The volume, like, there's a breadth in the diversity, but, I mean, it is a dominantly white town.
Yeah.
But within that, there is a very kind of vital cultural fabric of different people who are making all different kinds of contributions in the community. And it's important that that is recognized. It's also important that we live up to our motto of being everybody's hometown.
There you go. Yes, the Yavapai County stats, which I looked up, 93% white, and that's countywide. And of course, in the urban center of the county, which would be Prescott, I know that we
urban.
Well, I'm afraid
it's becoming a bit more urban every day.
We see it as urban down here. Yeah, you have you have cement, you have a courthouse, and you have a square.
True,
very
true,
urban.
True.
So, but I really like your choice of, and I understand now the putting the word neighborhood in. That was one of the words. You know, I had trouble with each one of your words, but now I understand why you have neighborhood in the title. Because that's certainly what you're shooting for, and that's where the problems
are
coming out of. And so you want to go to that level to explain. And before the mics went on, I explained a little bit of experiences I had in the military working in Equal Opportunity Office and trying to – it's difficult to expose or to talk people through their own – I don't use the word prejudice, their own – views on, in this case, we're talking about white Southern leaders and minority worker bees, as you call them, lower ranking folks.
Soldiers,
right, exactly.
Literally.
And so there was always this conflict until we had some extremely emotional meetings where they found their common ground.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of, what's going to happen at this?
I'll go through the Friday program a little bit. So, and maybe we should call this like looking for Mr. Rogers.
Okay. All right.
Fred Rogers was a great advocate
yes.
for equity
yes.
through his children's program. The Friday night program is going to begin with a wisdom invocation in which we've invited different religious leaders to speak not about their religious tradition, but about the wisdom in another religious tradition.
Wow.
And
where
this
they
is
a line.
So, rabbi wants to speak, going to speak about Catholicism.
Rabbi, imam, Catholic sister.
Okay.
We're working on someone from the Garchin Institute coming. It's going to be sort of a panorama, and it's short. It won't be long, but basically they're going to have dates with each other where one learns about something that is critical to the other, and they give something of their own religion to someone else.
Wow.
So that they all kind of talk about what I have learned about or what is valuable in. And I think this is really important because our wisdom traditions are what can guide us to the common ground that we exist on here on the earth. And that'll open it up. That'll be like the first 20-25 minutes.
Great.
Then we will do a program of presentations and performances. There will be a wonderful spoken word poet, KJ Inc. You actually saw him. He was in the performance at Arcosanti.
Yes, I did.
Global Steel Congress. There will be
excellent, by the way.
Yeah, he's a fantastic poet.
Yes.
Muriel Manning will do a bit of a discourse lecture around some of the historical themes of integration and cultural equity. There will then be a performance from Mayfield Brooks, a queer artist of color from New York City, around the theme of improvising while black. Mayfield is co-teaching a Prescott College class with me around dance and improvisation. And then Lupe Conscious will speak about the relationship between climate justice and cultural equity.
Wow.
The impact of climate change on immigration.
Right.
These are themes that are already affecting us.
That's right.
And the interlinking of those understandings is very important.
There was a real a temptation to put your head in the ground because there are so much that it's chaos, it seems like, out there. And as you said, the beginning of refugees caused by climate change, and your friends and neighbors in Prescott, listen, this is like very refreshing. I'm taking this head on, and the whole racial, the whole whiteness thing. But I want to go back to the spoken word. I want to make sure that Christopher Fox Graham is, he's kind of like Jay Ruby here. I'm talking to Jay Ruby. I'm talking to Rosemary Dixon, and I'm comparing the managing editor of our local paper, who has this one life, but certainly has this almost, I want to say, opposite life as an advocate and as a spoken word poet. They put on events here, which, you have to admit, seem this very sort of more or less rigid life and this very artistic and life, which sort of adds meaning to things, which kind of looks behind things. And so I will make sure that he understands that that weekend of September 20th, 21st, and 22nd, that these things are going on in Prescott, and we're just starting to talk about them. We talked about the Neighborhood Summit for Equity. We talked about some of the introductions, some of the workshops. And the point of this, and we're talking about gathering wisdom from the various traditions, which is also wonderful, but where they explain each other's. It doesn't take, I shouldn't say that, it doesn't take much. But if you explore any one religion, you start seeing the similarities in them all.
Sure.
And in this case, I'm going to guess that one of your hopes is that the speakers will talk about, that's an old-fashioned word, but brotherhood.
That's right.
Regardless of race, and regardless of whatever justifications people have found in various books, that there is no justification for racism. Tell us more about. So I've invited the managing editor of the paper to you.
Please come.
That's it. It
will be an entertaining
cordially
evening.
Cordially invited.
And
yes.
Bring your spoken word, folks. Or maybe some suggestions. Yeah. But what else is going to happen?
So I also want to say beforehand.
Yes.
Like we're even going to go back to like just before.
Sure.
The Northern Arizona Climate Change Alliance is doing an action. It's a national day of action on the 20th around the climate. So there'll actually be a gathering at the square around that prior to when we begin, and those folks are going to come over to the Equity Summit.
One of the many things going on in Prescott on that weekend.
And then afterwards, there will be another concluding action at the square after the Equity Summit. And then at 8 o'clock, the Yavapai Dems are having their mixer to welcome the state meeting.
Ah, Very good.
So it's that's just Friday night.
That's just Friday,
Friday night.
I do want to put a plug in for the Northern Arizona Climate Alliance, and that is that September 20th thing. They've been looking for young people. Greta Thunberg,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. is in the U.S., I guess, and one of the reasons they're some of them have used the word strike, and that's we'll you can talk or not talk about with them. We'll have them on later, but on that 20th, it's going to, like you said, a national day of activism. Greta says, if I'm acting like my house is burning, it's because it is. And they're looking for young people. They're looking for high school people. They're trying to get, I don't want to say they're trying to get into high schools, but they're trying to get high school people involved in the statement and the awareness that they're trying to make. And I know some local people from the Northern Arizona Alliance for Climate Change that have been doing that. I hope they get into Sedona. If you're from Sedona High School, you're from Mingus Union High School, you're from Camp Verde High School, or from the zillions of charter schools around here, and want some awareness for your students, maybe you want to give these guys a call.
I just did talk to people yesterday, young people in their teens and 20s who'll be coming from Flagstaff.
Oh, good.
Coming from Tucson, who'll be coming from Phoenix.
Yes, so you said Tucson, Phoenix, and Flagstaff. And we're looking for Camp Verde Sedona.
I would love to see the Verde Valley show up.
There you go.
I'd like to just talk about Saturday as
Please.
Well, and then I don't want to lose sight of the workshops on Sunday. Saturday is the state meeting for
right.
the Democratic Party, and all the caucuses will be there. I think there's close to 15. That's from 9 to 10 at Mile High Middle School, and all of these events are at Mile High Middle School. Everything
okay.
on Friday night is there. If there's parking there, you can also park in town. It's an easy walk from anywhere downtown. The Saturday morning events go from which is the state caucus meetings, go from 9 to noon. Then there's a lunch. And then there's the big state meeting, which you probably know about. That's where they make some policy decisions. There's some votes. During that time, some people who are, let's say, not as inclined to participate in the state
yes.
meeting
yes.
or who are not voting members, that's a time to go to the Prescott powwow.
There you go.
There will be shuttle vans that Indivisible is organizing that leave Mile High Middle School and go out to Watson Lake and bring people back.
Beautiful.
There is that evening is the Truman Clinton dinner.
Yes.
Which will have Senate candidate Mark Kelly speaking along with State Chair Felicia Rodolini. KJ Inc. will also be doing spoken word there.
I'll be there.
I want to see. I want to say it's nice to push politicians with their word craft by having someone really good there. there'll
good.
Be the Big Six Jazz Trio,
huh?
And it's going to be a very nice, elegant evening at the Prescott Resort. This is the one event that is not at Mile High Middle School. It's at the Prescott Resort. Truman Clinton dinner, if you go to yavdem.org, mm-hmm. there is a subsection for it. This is a fundraiser for the county party because we are looking to increase voter turnout.
Right.
We are going to increase voter outreach, and the money raised from the Truman Clinton dinner, we are going to allot towards those particular goals. There was a lot. The Verde Valley,
yes.
had the Verde Valley turned out uh-huh. and increased its percentage, we would have had Felicia French
right.
as in LD6.
LD6 representative.
And that would have meant a 30-30 tie in the House, and that would have meant Charlene Fernandez was determining legislation. And that would have been a whole different legislative session.
Yeah.
And you can bet that things like the ERA would have been introduced.
So we're talking 500 votes.
We're talking 600 people 600 in the Verde Valley.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Yavapai Dems are committed to investing in the Verde Valley to make yeah. sure that we can win LD6
yes.
and to make sure that young people and people who have been marginalized from the political process, which is a lot of what Indivisible's doing, we want that to happen. We want to see more people become engaged in the living, vital practice of democracy.
I think that's so true that for young people, and I'm directing this at them, that those 6,000 Indivisibles, as opposed to all of these more established, more staid, if I could say, organizations like the Arizona Democratic Party, like even Democrats of the Red Rocks, wonderful supporter of our show, and others, that the Indivisible groups are certainly a way in because they're so new, because they're so fresh. And because they have a, I don't want to say a non-political mission, but they are reluctant to align. It's just naturally that they're aligning with the Democratic Party because, as we said at the beginning of the show, that reason has a liberal bias, truth has a liberal bias.
Compassion has a liberal bias
these days. And so that's just what's going on. And so we want to advocate that's a good entry. And I'm always worried about how people get started. Beginnings are important. And we've heard, some of us heard Mark Kelly speak in Cottonwood last week. Some of us heard Mark Kelly speak over here at El Portal a few weeks before that. So Mark is doing what he should to let the Verde Valley area, Sedona and Verde Valley, know that he is wants to represent them as much as the rest of the state. And he's here, and he's doing it the best way a politician can. He's showing up. The old Woody Allen line works. 80% of anything is showing up.
He just was in Prescott. We had almost 100 people coming to see him who want to volunteer to help his campaign.
We had 140 at Ledbetter Law, and that was a limited group, actually. It was an invitation thing, an RSVP and all of that. So it wasn't meant to be a huge number, but it was anyway.
11 a.m. on a Thursday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like there is enthusiasm.
Wow.
And there is excitement for his campaign, which is really wonderful.
Yes, I have people calling me and wanting to make sure that we meaning Democrats don't screw this up. That basically that's what. Their worry is.
We got this.
Okay. Well, they're worried that we, once again, Democrats, are going to handle this out of the impact and the success and the victory that he should have. I am putting together, I suppose, since we're being all so personal here this morning, I'm putting together a table for the Truman Clinton dinner.
Nice.
Yes.
Good for you.
So if anybody's listening, I think I need 10.
Yeah, and we're 75% sold out. So you're going to want to hurry.
Okay, so I want to hurry. All right, yeah. No, I have friends that I have two or three tables that I'm pointing at my ear because they've been encouraging me to do this, and I've been doing what I usually do.
We have people coming from Yuma. We have people coming from Pima County.
Wow.
Like it's, I mean, I know one person in Prescott who's already organized 5-10 tops.
Wow.
There is momentum.
Yes. There is
be
momentum.
A part of it.
There be
it's going to be a good night.
Well, you know,
we also have indivisibles from all over the state of Arizona coming, and our group, which has 1,500 people on our mailing list, we have opened our homes to. This is the way you create community.
That is the way you do it.
So we've got several coming from Yuma County Indivisible. We've got Desert Progressives heading up. We've got Indivisible White Mountains coming down, and large percentage of our group said, yeah, they can stay with me. So
this is very exciting,
guys. It's very exciting. Yeah.
So there you go. And once again, going back to if your entry is going to be indivisible, as I'm suggesting, you're going to have this convergence in Prescott. So much going on this weekend.
And we haven't even hit Sunday.
We haven't hit it. So, okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get to that before we run out of time. And all of this is going to be at Mile High Middle. A lot of it's going to be at Mile High Middle School. Some of it's going to be in the Courthouse Square. And so between the two.
Well, all the actions at the Courthouse Square will start at Mile High Middle School.
Okay. All right. So you could, one of those places. So I just want to make sure, folks, we're talking to Jay Ruby, a political entrepreneur from Prescott. We're talking to Rosemary Dixon. I needed something, a summary. Rosemary Dixon is her primary thing here on Democratic Perspective. Today, Rosemary Dixon's talking about the Neighborhood Summit for Equity. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Let's talk about those Sunday workshops.
Okay. Indivisible National has a group of people who train people, who train others on racial equity.
I see.
So they are sending their senior training person, Lexi Coburn, who will come out and do two racial equity workshops, one on Sunday morning, 9 till noon, which we're encouraging out-of-towners to attend because they're going to want to go home by Sunday afternoon. And then we have another workshop from 2 to 5 with Lexi again for locals who can go home right after. They don't have to drive 2 or 3 or 4 hours to get home. So right. It's important that people understand the systemic nature of inequity and racism.
I see.
And these workshops will help people understand that. You know, there's a wonderful anti-racist educator called Jane Elliott. She's pretty old. She's pretty famous. And her first line when she speaks to groups about racism, and usually they're pretty white groups, she asks them, how many of you here would like to be treated like a person of color in this country?
Right.
And then nobody raises their hand.
Yeah,
and she
amazing.
Says, well,
yeah.
What are you doing about it then?
Right.
I mean, why are you, if you know that, like, we're accepting this as if it's normal, and it's not normal.
I have a relative, and it's a German relative. All my family's Italian, so we have a German that married my Italian cousin, and they were in my house last night. And he is not necessarily, and I want to predispose to accepting of other Americans of different backgrounds. And so I said that every minute of every day, your whiteness helps you.
Absolutely.
Every minute of every, and that, not that I was that profound, and not that that was certainly original, but he apparently had never paid attention to it before.
Mm-hmm.
But he heard it in my home, in my table, drinking my beer, by the way. So maybe it had a little more impact. And mm-hmm. So he agreed with that. And he said, and that was just the beginning. So at least I think, Marty is on the road now. I hope you're listening to this. It was wonderful having you, and we had some great talks. But that's the idea. One of the things I mentioned, and I know my colleagues are going to get on me for, I said, you know, you're really supposed to let guests talk. This is why we don't let you do the show alone. when we did in the military room, when we tried, we put up a slide of ham hocks and beans. As the participants in the workshop came in, black city people, perhaps, and Southerners and white Southerners who were supervisors. It was a common thread. They knew what that was. They both knew it. So we would ask them right away, what do we got up there? And the white guys knew it, and the black guys knew it. And so that's it. We found
mm-hmm.
common ground as soon as they walked in by putting up a slide of a particular food that was certainly comfort food at the time. So it helped and started from there. So we got, what else we got going on?
Something to say about the workshops,
yes, please.
Is that they are limited.
Oh,
there's
yes.
only 40 spots. And if you're interested, a lot of those slots are already gone.
I see.
So if you're interested in getting a deep dive into structural racism and the ways in which our society, not even consciously,
right.
but unconsciously,
oh, no. yeah.
perpetuates an unfair system. And there's no blame there, right? It's just, it's a system that's in place that we have to address. Sunday's
right.
the day to do it. And sign up soon. Like, go to PrescottIndivisible.org/equity.
Okay.
And you'll see the sign-up sheets.
All right.
And sign up for our Friday night event, too, because we could be getting close to capacity there, and people who sign up will get okay. priority at the door.
All right.
There is another action on Sunday,
okay.
led by the Social Justice and Community Organizing Program at Prescott College, which will be around immigration. And that will also start at Mile High Middle School at noon on Sunday and go to the square. So we have climate change action on Friday, immigration action on Sunday, workshops on Sunday, performances and presentations on Friday, caucus meeting Saturday morning, powwow or state meeting Saturday afternoon, and Truman Clinton dinner Saturday night. I just kind of all jumbled that up.
That's
to
great.
Give you an idea
Thank
of what
you.
The political convergence is about.
That's it.
It's a
That's
lot
it.
To hold.
That's like it. Well, there is. Now, I should tell you guys, and I want to tell the audience, what happens here is that this, when we finish this show, it will be available on Facebook. It will be available on our website in a couple of days. We have people that write the wonderful summaries. Printed summaries. If you don't want to listen to the whole 44 minutes of the show, you can read the summary. Our summarizer will take what Jay said and what Rosemary said and what I said and put it in a nice, concise summary. Those things will be eventually on the website, VVID.org. I usually wait to the end of the show, but it's Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org is the easiest way to get there. If you do VVID.org, chances are pretty good you'll get there and most browsers, but there are some other similarly monikered websites, so you want to but Verde Valley Independent Democrats.org is where our archive is. That's where this show will be with its wonderful summary. And it's overall, we're live streaming on Facebook at this moment, and that will be on there in perpetuity until the government takes over Facebook and puts it out of business. As they should, by the way.
And PrescottIndivisible.org. /equity for information about the summit. Yavdem.org for information about the Truman Clinton dinner.
There you go.
You know, nobody's required to come to all of these things.
Right.
It's like a festival. You choose the shows you want to see.
Well, that's it. I think, at least in the social justice category, I do want to back up to the thing that keeps sticking in my mind is the institutional invisibility
exactly.
of racism.
Yes.
That I don't care how. Go ahead.
We live in an apartheid system right now.
Okay.
If you are undocumented in this country, you're living under apartheid.
Yeah.
If you are in fear that you're going to be deported and your kids who were born here will not have a parent around, you're living in an apartheid system.
If you're hiding.
That level of tension and it's oppression.
Right.
I mean, I know people in this situation. I talked to one yesterday.
Yeah.
If you're walking down the street and don't want to cross because the light hasn't, like you don't have the flashing white person walking across the sign and there's no traffic around.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get pulled over for jaywalking.
Right.
That is some of the pressures that we have going on right now. And you can say, oh, well, it's law. People need to obey the law. But there is a spirit of human compassion that transcends the limitations of human law.
But also, working for equity requires intention. Because just as you said, it's invisible.
Yep.
So we have to be willing to open our eyes and recognize that I'm white, right? Nothing in my world has ever been made more difficult by my race.
Right.
Right? And of course we wouldn't see that because we wouldn't notice that because we're white.
That's
so
right.
It's really important to be intentional about this kind of thing. And Indivisible National has actually come up with a racial equity and inclusion document because they are demanding equity. They are modeling equity in their 70 employees in their organization.
Yeah.
And they are wanting politicians to put their money where their mouth is.
Well, that's it. The real power, I've learned, comes from being invisible. Your role in things never gets examined.
That's right.
If you manage to be on the outside the box.
That's exactly true.
And whiteness and the advantages of whiteness are outside. So we never examine that.
Mm-hmm.
We examine blackness. We examine brown. Examine that.
I will oddly quote Jesse Helms here.
Okay, oddly quote.
Sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Very good.
And we need to shine some light on the centuries old systems of
the truth.
Racism.
The institutional, and it was planned this way, folks. We can fight about that later, that this was actually the plan. We only got less than a minute left. We want to certainly thank Democrats of the Red Rocks for helping Democratic Perspective stay on the air. We have many, many friends. We want to wish Steve Williamson the best on his the barge to Luxembourg. I hope he does write a poem when he gets home. We'll
Schöne Reise.
then there's that. Don't forget, our shows are archived on bbid.org. You want to go to Democratic Perspective on Facebook. And we want to thank everyone. Don't forget, there is a donate button. We need help to stay on the air. Democratic Perspective, thanks you for listening. See you soon.
listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZN. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.